not afraid, she just likes to use a nightlight. When she gets paid, True Religion gets it all.
Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Rock Review. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the News and Observer, The Week magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly.
I don't agree with her half the time, but damn, I'm glad she's mine. Her eyes, that's where hope lies.
And this opening, Her Eyes, brought to us by Pat Monahan, lead singer for Train. We'll be hearing more about and from Pat Monahan later on in today's program, and he'll close it out as well.
That every man wishes he had. She loved Michael Jackson up until he made bad.
But first, these trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from freetrivia and pubquizquestions.com. Question number one. Which pop singer's real name is Eileen Regina Edwards? Is it A, Pat Monahan, B, Madonna, C, / D, Shania Twain, or E, Amy Winehouse? Hint, at age 21, this Canadian singer's parents both died in a car crash. And just last month, this artist released the single, Today is Your Day. So, who is this singer? Question number two. Which musical instrument derived its name from the Italian words for soft and hard? Hint, the song Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven is among the most famous pieces featuring this instrument, which was invented in 1709. Which musical instrument is that? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. The transition section of today's program is brought to us by MusicOrb.com and BGORecords.com. Today in music history, and today is the weekend of July 29 and 30. If you were born on July 29th, you share a birthday with Geddy Lee of Rush. 1953 on July 29th he was born, and country singer Martina McBride, born on that same day, July 29th, 1966. Or if you were born on July 30th, you share a B-day with George Buddy Guy. He's the U.S. blues guitarist, born on July 30th, 1936. Also, Paul Anka, Put Your Head on My Shoulder, born on July 30th, 1941. And finally, David Sanborn, the jazz saxophonist. He was born on July 30th, 1945. Deaths in music history this weekend include Franz Wolfgang Mozart, died this weekend, back in 1844. And Robert A. Schumann, the German pianist, composer, humoresque, died this weekend in 1856. Mama Cass Elliott of the Mamas and the Papas also died this weekend, back in 1974. And Fred Waring, orchestra leader, died this weekend, back in 1984. Important events in music history this weekend include, back in 1949, the BBC radio begins broadcasting. And back in 1954, Elvis Presley joins the Memphis Federation of Musicians, Local 71. And in 1966, Bob Dylan suffers a motorcycle crash, which keeps him out of the public eye for the next 2 years. And a year after that, 1967, The Doors, Light My Fire, hits number one this weekend. And back in 1972 this weekend, it was Gilbert O'Sullivan's Alone Again Naturally hitting number one. And finally, back in 1995, Hootie and the Blowfish hit number one with Cracked Rear View.
I cheated myself.
This next story, part of Transitions, comes to us from Associated Press, published in the News and Observer on July 27th, 2011. Friends, family, remember Winehouse. Wearing dark suits, black dresses, and the occasional beehive hairdo, friends and family said goodbye to Amy Winehouse on Tuesday with prayers, tears, laughter, and song at an emotional funeral ceremony. Amy was the greatest daughter, family member, and friend you could ever have, said her father, Mitch Winehouse, in a section of the eulogy released by a family spokesman. The singer's father, mother, and brother were joined by Winehouse's closest friends, band members, and celebrities, including producer Mike Ronson, for the service at Edgewarebury Cemetery in North London. Media personality Kelly Osbourne was one of several women to wear their hair piled beehive high in an echo of the singer's trademark style. Fans and photographers thronged the lane outside, but the funeral was for several hundred friends and family only. Mitch Winehouse told mourners that his late daughter had recently found love and had beaten her drug dependency 3 years before her death. But he admitted that she was still struggling to control her drinking after several weeks of abstinence. She said, "Dad, I've had enough of drinking. I can't stand the look on you and the family's faces anymore," Mitch Winehouse said. He said Amy had been playing her drums and singing in the home the night before her death. "But knowing she wasn't depressed, knowing she passed away, knowing she passed away happy, it makes us all feel better," he said, adding that he hopes to set up an Amy Winehouse Foundation that would help people beat substance abuse. The cab driver and jazz singer, who helped foster his daughter's love of music, ended his eulogy with the words, "Good night, my angel, sleep tight. Mummy and Daddy love you ever so much." Mitch was funny. He told some great stories from childhood about how headstrong she was, and clearly the family and friends recognized the stories and laughed along, said family spokesman Chris Goodman. The Jewish service was led by a rabbi and included prayers in English and Hebrew. It ended with a rendition of Carol King's "So Far Away," one of Winehouse's favorite songs.
So far away, doesn't anybody stay in one place anymore? It would be so fine to see your face at my door. Doesn't help to know you're just time away.
In local rock news, we see this story published, of all places, in the New York Times by Amanda Petrusich on May the 5th, 2011, entitled "Summer Stages Pop and Jazz." Sections of this article are listed by state in alphabetical order, and here is for North Carolina. Hopscotch, Raleigh, September 8th through the 10th. Now in its second year, this festival presents established independent rock acts, the Flaming Lips, the Dodos, the Drive-By Truckers, Guided by Voices, Swans, J. Massis, alongside many diverse up-and-comers, Yellow Wolf, Cold Cave, Twin Shadow, and a few plucked from somewhere in between, John Vanderslice, the Black Lips. With 135 bands, about 40% are locally sourced, scheduled for 12 sites, including the 600-seat Fletcher Opera Theater over 3 days, it's bound to embody its name with wrist-banded throngs bouncing from stage to stage like giddy school kids on a playground. And this follow-up from the link, hopscotchmusicfest.com. When Hopscotch Music Festival announced the lineup for its 2011 run in April, there were no plans to add any other bands. The talent seemed all set for the September 8th through 10th celebration in downtown Raleigh, but tickets sold more rapidly than the festival organizers had anticipated, with VIP tickets gone in less than 3 hours, and more than half of the festival's all-show wristbands grabbed only a month after the launch, so they added a 13th venue and 14 more bands. The article skips down and ends with this. Hopscotch 2011 splits 150 bands between 13 clubs and 3 days, September 8th through 10th. There's a lot of exploring, or hopscotching, if you will, to be done. Tickets remain on sale through the Hopscotch website. This next article comes to us from news.sciencemag.org/science now, published on July 6, 2011, entitled Scientists Play World's Oldest Commercial Record. This article is written by Ron Cohen. This scratchy 12-second audio clip of a woman reciting the first verse of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star doesn't sound like much, but the faint 123-year-old recording, etched into a warped metal cylinder and brought back to life after decades of silence by a three-dimensional optical scanning technique, appears to belong to the first record intended for sale to the public. Made for a talking doll briefly sold by phonograph inventor Thomas Edison, the early record is the oldest known American recording of a woman's voice and may be the oldest known record produced at Edison's laboratory in West Orange, New Jersey. The talking doll cylinders are evidence of both efforts to further refine recorded sound techniques that were still primitive and in the experimental state, and to develop commercial uses for sound recordings, says Samuel Brylowski, a sound archivist affiliated with the University of California, Santa Barbara, who was not part of the study. This playing in the background, by the way, is from the Edison Collection, recorded back in the early 1900s. The ancient record, discovered in 1967 at the West Orange site, now a museum, where Edison and his laboratory workers perfected and produced records as well as the first motion picture, was a ring-shaped piece of metal whose exterior had been incised with grooves by a recording stylus. It had become so out of round, like a flattened bicycle tower, that it could no longer be played by a phonograph stylus of any other method requiring direct contact. The article skips down. By piecing together millions of the microscopic measurements, the researchers assembled a 3D map of the entire cylinder. Software then translated the topographic map into audio signals, and Fabris recently found himself listening to a young woman reciting the well-known nursery rhyme. Sound historian Patrick Feaster of Indiana University Bloomington dated the cylinder to 1888 by finding several archival documents, including newspaper articles from 1888 that referred to the toy doll records. Article skips down. Fabrice announced the finding today on the museum's website. The newspaper accounts suggest that these would have been the first phonographic recordings made with the intention of being sold to the public, Feaster says. Although Edison abandoned metal cylinders for wax ones for his brief, unsuccessful foray into selling the fragile talking dolls in 1890. Edison had begun marketing the phonograph to businessmen who would dictate letters on the cylinder, records that stenographers could then play back at a slower speed and transcribe on the recently invented typewriter. But entertainment records were already in demand for penny arcades and touring phonograph exhibition concerts, and Edison wanted to take full advantage of those opportunities, Feaster says. Home phonographs and records came later. Edison's first phonograph, which he invented in 1877, recorded sound on strips of tinfoil wrapped around a cylindrical that could be played back only a few times before the grooves wore out. By 1888, more durable records, including wax-coated cardboard tubes and solid tin rings, had been developed. So what do you know about today's featured artist, Pat Monahan? Well, according to www.starpulse.co, this bio by Matt Collar suggests. He's best known as the lead singer for the rock band Train. Pat Monahan is a longtime performer in his own right. Born in Erie, Pennsylvania in 1969, Monahan moved to California in 1993 and began singing in coffee houses around San Francisco with guitarist Rob Hotchkiss. The duo added members named themselves Train and eventually found success with the 2001 album Drops of Jupiter. In 2006, Train decided to take a break from touring and recording, and Monahan accepted an offer to write music with British singer-songwriter and producer Guy Chambers for a Tina Turner project. He released his own album, Last of Seven, on Sony in 2007. On Last of Seven, Monahan duets with folk rocker Brandi Carlile, with special guest appearances by Richie Sambora and Graham Nash. Monahan worked with Guy Chambers to co-write two songs for Tina Turner's hit album, Tina, Her Greatest Hits. Monahan currently resides in Seattle, Washington and San Francisco, California, with his second wife, Amber Peterson. Monahan has recently contributed a cover of Buddy Holly's Maybe Baby for the upcoming tribute album Listen to Me, Buddy Holly, to be released on the 6th of September, 2011. And this related bio comes to us from lyricsfreak.com. Train is a Grammy Award-winning rock band formed in San Francisco, California. To date, three of their albums have peaked in the top 10 of the Billboard 200 and have sold a total of over 4 million albums in the U.S. Three of their songs have been top 20 hits on the Billboard Hot 100, including their biggest hit, Drops of Jupiter, Tell Me. Train has found success on modern adult contemporary radio stations, where they have had 8 songs in the top 20 of the Hot Adult Top 40 Tracks chart. History, emergence, and first album. The group started out in San Francisco with only 2 members, Patrick Monahan, lead vocals, who was born in Erie, Pennsylvania, and Rob Hotchkiss, guitar and vocals, who performed in coffee house and local clubs. Monahan had previously been a member of a Led Zeppelin cover band before turning his attention to creating his own music. Hotchkiss had been the lead singer for an L.A.-based group called Apostles. Train attempted to get signed under Columbia Records in 1996, but were rejected. By 1997, they were touring nationally, opening concerts for groups such as Bare Naked Ladies and Counting Crows. The band members financed their self-titled debut album, which cost them a total of $25,000 to produce. Columbia Records agreed to sign Train under Aware Records after hearing their first album. Their song, Free, saw significant airplay on mainstream rock radio, later being featured in the TV show Party of Five. Train then released the song Meet Virginia as a single. The song became a major hit on modern adult contemporary radio stations and became a top 20 pop hit.
Now that she's back in the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter in her.
Drops of Jupiter. Prior to the release of their second album, the band issued the single Drops of Jupiter, Tell Me. The song entered the Hot 100 on March 10, 2001, and spent over a year on the chart, 53 weeks, before being relegated to the Recurrence chart. The song won a Grammy Award for Best Rock Song, as well as a Grammy Award for Best Arrangement. The album, Drops of Jupiter, was released on March 27, 2001, and became Train's first multi-platinum album, due in part to the strength of the leading single. Drops of Jupiter was produced by Brendan O'Brien, who had previously worked for artists such as Pearl Jam, Bob Dylan, and Neil Young. The album was Train's first top 10 album, peaking at number 6 on the Billboard 200. The album was also a top 10 hit in the UK, where it peaked at number 8. Train has performed thousands of concerts in the US, Canada, Mexico, Europe, and Australia. The band's third album, My Private Nation, was released in June 2003 with Calling All Angels as the lead single. Calling All Angels became Train's third top 20 hit and was a major hit on the Billboard Hot Adult Contemporary Tracks chart. Article skips down and ends with this. The band released their first live album, Alive at Last, in 2004. Also in 2004, Train won a Radio Music Award for Best Artist. Finally, this bio comes to us from Amazon.com, published on the 25th of July, 2011. Over the course of 15 years, Train has made its mark on music history with their Grammy Award-winning song, Drops of Jupiter, Tell Me, and chart-topping singles, Meet Virginia and Calling All Angels. Since forming in San Francisco in 1994, the multi-platinum-selling band has traveled a long, successful, and sometimes arduous journey. Following their 2006 release for Me, It's You, the band took a 3-year hiatus, and in that time, Train has, for all intents and purposes, experienced an epiphany as a whole. Now, with their fifth album, Save Me, San Francisco, Train has channeled their early days, revisiting the roots rock sound that has made the band such a tour de force. And in turn, the band is united stronger than ever before. I think taking time away from each other really made us the heart grow fonder, frontman Pop Manahan says of the break. We realized how important we were to one another, and taking a few years off helped us all really look at ourselves and what we could contribute to this band as opposed to what we weren't getting from the bank. When looking back, Train credits the city of San Francisco with cultivating the band's identity and foundation, so it's no wonder that the title track of the record would pay homage to the Bay Area metropolis the band holds so dear. We owe all of our gratitude to San Francisco because they embraced us back when, if they hadn't have, no one would have, Monahan explains. Basically, this album is our way of paying tribute, giving thanks, and also recognizing that we kind of need San Francisco to okay this band before anybody else does. Those were the best times of our lives, even though we didn't know it, living in San Francisco and struggling to make a band work. Save Me, San Francisco is an autobiographical account of Train's beginnings and embodies not only the spirit of the album, but also the soul of Train as a band. The sound's lyrics take the listener through the three-piece humble start in the mid-90s, up through the time when Monahan, in particular, left the city by the bay. It's very related to my existence, but Jimmy, Scott, and I have been through a lot together in the past 14 to 15 years, so it represents a lot to them, too, because they don't reside in San Francisco anymore, and we all miss it.
I've been stopped. I've been gone.
In this day and age, career artists are few and far between, and after a decade and a half of being a band, Train is ready to present one of their strongest efforts to date. Monahan recognizes the band's accomplishments and, as he states so clearly, is more than grateful for the success they have experienced. However, for a band as consummate as Train is, Monahan still sets his goals high and hopes the band's fans will continue to come along for the ride. I still remember what it's like to paint houses, he recalls. I had fun because I loved the people that I worked with, but it's really not what I wanted to do. Not because it's a degrading job or anything, but because when I'm on stage, I feel so much more connected to who I think I truly am. I just want to stay connected to the highest level myself can be, and I think it comes through music. With that said, I'll never stop wanting to sell out Madison Square Garden, so my goals are very simple, but they're pretty big at the same time. I think train fans will have watched the good and the bad, have been a part of all of it, and have loved some of the music and not liked some of the music, are really going to like this record a lot. I think much more than they have in years. This final article comes to us from Parade magazine, published on July 24, 2011, entitled Parade Picks, Rave On, Buddy Holly, Various Artists, $15. A-listers from Paul McCartney to Florence and the Machine cover Holly hits like Peggy Sue and Oh Boy on a tribute album that captures not just the spirit of the music but the soul of the man. Among the many gems, Fiona Apple and John Bryan's folksy version of Every Day and CeeLo Green's exuberant You're So Square, Baby, I Don't Care. And from Amazon.com we see this review. The catalog of rock and roll pioneer Buddy Holly has continued to thrive long after the singer's life tragically ended at age 22, and it will get a fresh look this summer when artists as varied as CeeLo Green, Kid Rock, Fiona Apple, Modest Mouse, Lou Reed, and Paul McCartney appear on the 19-track collection Rave On, Buddy Holly.
Well, it's so easy.
McCartney, long a champion of Holly's work, he produced and hosted tribute film, The Real Buddy Holly Story, sings It's So Easy. It's playing in the background now. Article skips down and ends with this. As the tracks from various contributors were gathered for the album, we seem to be gathering pieces of a complex and original puzzle that traces back to the roots of rock and roll and shapes so much of the music that followed.
It's so easy to
So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, answer number one. Well, the correct answer to the second question is country pop singer Shania Twain. She's the artist whose real name is Eileen Regina Edwards. And the correct answer to the first question is...
Cowboys and Indians, heteros and gays. Blacks and whites.
No, that's not it. Which instrument owes its name to the Italian words for soft and loud? The correct answer is... the piano. This instrument, invented in the early 1700s in Italy, is featured in the Beethoven piece Moonlight Sonata, playing in the background now. The Italian word for loud, by the way, is pianoforte.
And Indians, heteros and gays, blacks and whites, in all of their ways, they're all dancing underneath the moon.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Rock Review. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. If you have a suggestion for an artist, group, or genre of music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson, at 832-5138. So long until... next time.
Take your hands, I'd like to give you some peace.